For over 45 years, people have relied on Village Green Apothecary to give them individualized nutrition, pharmacy, and healthy living products. Village Green will give you the kind of person-to-person help and attention that mass-market pharmacies have long ago forgotten. You can depend on us for knowledge, experience, product selection, and a smile. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com. We're here to help you.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500. Brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. We're here every Sunday from 10 to 11 a.m. And I am Dr. Kevin Passero, your host for today. Thank you all for tuning in. It's always a pleasure to be here with you. Today, we've got a great topic lined up as we do every single week. We're going to be talking to one of my favorite special guests who's been a regular on the show, Dr. Joseph Lamb. And we're going to be talking about some new perspectives and some things we haven't discussed in the past, which I think is really just going to be great. If you are an avid listener to the show, you probably know that you can download and listen to all of our previously recorded shows absolutely free. You can download them at iTunes. Just search for The Essentials of Healthy Living and it'll come up. You can also download our shows from the archive section of the Village Green website, our sponsor at www.myvillagegreen.com. You can also download them off of my website and learn more about my practice by going to www.greenhealingnow.com. Tons of information on all of those websites and resources for you to look at. So I'm going to introduce Dr. Lamb. We've got a lot of different topics that we want to talk about today. The first one's going to be Dr. Lamb sharing with us some perspectives on basically how to be the most effective patient advocate for yourself as possible, meaning understanding more of the process behind what doctors go through in their attempt to help you get well and things that you can do as the patient to facilitate that process to make the doctor be able to more efficiently help you to get to where you want to be. And it's not about anybody doing anything right or wrong. It's a great perspective from the doctor side because most patients don't have that perspective. And although doctors share a lot of things with patients about lifestyle and diet and nutrition and life coaching, we don't necessarily always share about, hey, listen, these are the things that you can do that will help make our job easier, which basically make things more efficient and helps us help you in an easier way. So that should be a great component to what we're going to discuss today and some helpful hints that you can bring with you to your next doctor's appointments. In addition, we're going to be discussing a lot of specifics around cardiovascular health. And this is a really exciting topic that I love to discuss. And I think it's important education that everybody needs to hear, considering that heart disease is the number one killer of Americans. And please remember that 50% of people that have a major fatal cardiovascular event, basically a heart attack, have normal to good cholesterol. So going into your doctor's office once a year and getting your cholesterol levels checked and being told that they're fine, you still have a 50% chance of having a major cardiovascular event. So there's more to this story. There's a lot more to this story. And the beauty of it is over the last 10 years, the research has helped us understand what the rest of that story is. And we're starting to get a really good grasp on understanding how to evaluate people for really understanding their risk factors for a cardiovascular event. And, you know, you've heard, everybody out there listening has probably heard these stories. They know someone, a relative, a friend of a friend, a distant relative, where they had a major heart attack and everybody's scratching their heads going, gosh, I just don't understand it. He was at the cardiologist's office 2 weeks ago and had a stress test and the cardiologist said that his heart was fine and everything looked great. How is this possible? Well, it's possible because some of the testing that is conventionally used out there to look and screen for heart disease doesn't necessarily pick up things and risk factors like it should. But there are ways to do it. And that is what one of the primary things Dr. Lamb is going to be sharing with us today is being an advocate for yourself and understanding what things you need to check for to protect your heart. Because statistically speaking, if you live long enough, your heart problems are the number one risk of things that are going to cause you problems. So Dr. Lamb is a clinical consultant in integrative and functional medicine. He's completed his graduate education at the Medical College of Virginia in Richmond, Virginia, and his internal medicine residency at Presbyterian University of Pennsylvania Medical Center in Philadelphia. He's board certified in both internal medicine and holistic medicine. He completed 1 year of a cardiology fellowship at the University of Colorado Health Science Center. In 2013, he achieved certification as an Institute for Functional Medicine certified practitioner. He is the past director of intramural clinical research at Functional Medicine Research Center for Metagenics in Gig Harbor, Washington. Past clinical experiences include nearly 17 years of private practice in our backyard here at Alexandria, Virginia. He is an adjunct faculty member of the Institute for Functional Medicine in Gig Harbor, Washington. He has lectured internationally in continuing medical education settings, including ones for the Functional Medicine Society, Fellowship for Anti-Aging. He has edited several books, authored chapters, including three on osteoporosis and one for the textbook of functional medicine, and authored and co-authored academic papers and website presentations on a variety of functional medicine topics. He is the president of Commonwealth Consultants Foundation, a regionally recognized Middle Atlantic charity centered to provide unique educational and social experiences and opportunities for economically deserving children and young adults. He is now in private practice at the Hypertension Institute of Nashville in Nashville, Tennessee, working alongside Dr. Mark Houston. So, Dr. Lamb, you've certainly achieved a lot in your career. Thank you for taking the time with us on the show today.
Thank you, Dr. Pizarro, and I'm almost tired after hearing you read that that introduction.
I know. Well, you've done a lot of things, and you know, we've got to let people know where you come from, so I think it's important to start the show off that way. So let's talk about, you know, you worked on the side of research in functional medicine for so long. You spent 17 years in private practice in Alexandria, and then you went and did more of a research-based position, and now you're back in private practice, and I'm sure all of that medical experience has brought to you lots of different perspectives regarding the doctor-patient relationship. And let's start off by having you share some of your insights about, you know, how to be a good patient in a way, in the context of how do I as a patient help facilitate the most efficient and best care from my doctor?
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that has struck me in the last 4 months of being back in private practice in Nashville is well, two things have struck me. Number one, there is some excellent care that people are receiving out there in the community. But there are places where people aren't getting the kind of care that we like to think about as good integrative medical care. You know, their symptoms are being recognized, they're being prescribed pharmaceuticals to kind of suppress those symptoms, and we're not really working into the functional medicine model of trying to understand what's going on with the patient. And, you know, I have found that, you know, one of the things that struck me along that way is that, you know, most of us who are in practice because at one point in time, at least, the most important thing to us was taking care of people. And, you know, the insurance world, you know, dealing with an electronic medical record like I am at the moment, those, you know, because we participate with insurance in the office, those things lead to challenges that make it harder and harder to take good care for the patient. And one of the things that's just really kind of jumped out at me is how important it becomes for a patient to be a good advocate for themselves when they show up for an office visit. And, you know, you of course, listeners are probably going, well, what does he mean, a good advocate? And what I would say is a person who advocates for themselves is the person who comes to the office visit best prepared to get everything that they want out of the visit. And the one who allows the physician to get everything that they want out of the visit. You know, the part that I really enjoy about a visit is actually being able to listen to someone, hear their story, tell the story back to them so that I confirm that, you know, yeah, indeed, this is what the patient also thinks is going on. And then starting to talk about how they got there, what physiologies are wrong, you know, kind of, you know, is it a detox issue? Is it an energy production issue? Is it a hormonal issue? Is it a communication issue in terms of neurotransmitters or hormones or just the way we carry our cholesterol around our bodies? You know, those sorts of things, what we carry around, how our diets play a role. And, you know, if the visit ends up being one that meets the insurance company's needs, which is having it all down in a medical record, and I'm becoming a scribe for the insurance company as opposed to teacher, which was the original word that physician came from, you know, doctore meant to teach, you know, if that's where we're kind of coming from, then the patient doesn't get the benefit of me trying to tell them how we want to make differences or enrolling them in a plan to make a difference, because instead, if they haven't come in with a history form thought out, or if they haven't come in, you know, having like captured, you know, their past medical history details, or, you know, they say, well, there are medical records that we could get from somewhere else. If you think they're going to be important before your visit, get them and bring them. You know, similarly, for the last 8 years doing nutritional supplement research at Metagenics, I dealt with Metagenics products. And so the people who I saw were on Metagenics products. But when someone comes in these days with so many nutritional supplements out there, whether they're bought at a Costco, whether they're bought at a vitamin store, whether they're bought at a Whole Foods, whether they're bought through a practitioner's office, there are hundreds of brands and thousands of different brand names. And if you bring your bottles with you, it's such a shortcut. I spend a good amount of time during office visits Googling labels in order to get a sense of what my patient's taking. And it takes away from giving back what I most want and what they most need. And that's the part of, you know, one of the things that's just really struck me getting back into private practice.
Oh, it's a great point. And I mean, I think some of it is, this conversation is so much more relevant in the context of doing the kind of medicine that you and I do, Dr. Lamb, which is more functional integrative medicine, because we have an office visit that's structured to allow the patient to share details about their medical history that they may not have in other offices. So I have patients that come in, and I agree, the patient that comes in with all of their lab records that they've already gotten, sometimes if they're tracking a specific health condition that is conducive to being monitored on lab work, they may have summarized things for me in a spreadsheet. I mean, it sounds a little bit, you know, intensive and maybe a little bit hypochondriacal, but it's really not. They may have been tracking their numbers for the last year, and it's very helpful because as they tell me their medical history, different medications they've tried, different therapies they've tried, I may pick up trends that are very easy for me to see that I would never have access to if I didn't have those records. I think many of my patients who are like that in advocating for themselves have brought those same materials to, let's say, their primary care doctor in the context of the 7-minute visit that they're trying to get something accomplished, and they give it to the doctor and they tell me, well, he or she didn't even look at it. You know, they didn't even look at it because they didn't have time. And certainly, you know, it's not only a great advice for people as far as how to advocate for themselves, but it's also a great advertisement for understanding why a different approach to medicine is so needed. You know, it's a harken back to the old days when, you know, the doctor made home visits and it was more of like rural medicine where everybody knew their doctor. And if you had a problem, you had time to sit down and discuss with your doctor what your problem was and in detail convey your issue so that they not only just listened, but they truly heard you and they were able to truly understand your issue and create a plan specific for you.
Right. You know, we send out a detailed history form before the visits, and I can't tell you how many people show up at the visit and go, well, I didn't get it done.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of look at them, and you know, I don't give people a hard time about that because, you know, you don't want to start building a relationship with a new patient on that basis. But my immediate thought is, well, you've just made me a scribe. Mm-hmm. Instead of making me your teacher, I'm suddenly a scribe because I'm taking your history, and once it's done, then it's going to be entered, some of it by my medical assistant, some by me, into the electronic medical record. But it takes away so much time, as opposed to if the question was answered on the form and I read it, I can just hand that to my medical assistant and it becomes part of their record. And ideally down the road, you know, these electronic medical records, and you know, I'm the first one to bust them at the moment because I'm like dying with this medical record in the office as everyone seems to be a new patient and you have to generate the note. But down the road, I think these medical records are really going to serve people well because, the information's going to be there. If they see other practitioners, particularly once we get to the point of integration between practices, when we see other practitioners, what's going to happen will basically be there'll be the ability for someone to go into the emergency room and say, you can look at my doctor's records. Mm-hmm. And if your doctor has a detailed record on you, it makes it much easier. The day's coming when patients won't need to fill out that form every time. But until then, the more they do to prepare, the better it is.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And it does lead to better care. And I think that those patients that are better advocates for themselves do oftentimes have better clinical results because they're more actively engaged in their process of healthcare. And I think that does matter and that does help. And it's the same thing with, you know, doing records between doctor's offices. I mean, I'm happy to send records around to other patients' doctors, but there are so many mishaps that can happen. Office staff are overwhelmed. People are busy. I always try and recommend for patients, let's say they have a lab test at a different office and they say, well, can you call the office and get them sent over? I say, I can work on that, but it's truly their responsibility to be coordinating this care. Because if my staff gives it a try, we've tried. If they don't respond, we move on to the next thing. Not because we don't care about that patient or we don't care about their case, but because we have all of these other people that we have to take care of that have needs. So really, if you put it in the patient's hand, advocate for yourself. Make sure, yes, doctor, I have the results. I fax them over personally. I got them from my doctor and faxed them over to your office. Did you receive them? Yes, Mrs. Jones, we receive them. I'm reviewing them today. I'll be back in touch. Just little things like that, I think, make a big difference. And I think make my job, and I know you're learning and experiencing again after a hiatus from private practice, being back in the same thing. So when we come back from the break, Dr. Lamb, let's sort of, you know, cap this conversation off with any other what we think are super helpful tips as being an advocate for yourself. And then maybe we can cross over into the cardiovascular topic, which I think is incredibly exciting and really interesting and something that every single person really needs to know about. So this is Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500. Don't touch that dial. We're going to be back right after these words.
Mega Food Premium Whole Food Supplements are the only supplements crafted from scratch with farm fresh whole foods to deliver nourishment the way nature intended. Mega Food believes Mother Nature knows best. They select only fresh whole food, harvested at the peak of ripeness, handle it gently and with care to deliver its vital essence to you in every bottle. Mega Food, from farm to tablet, our name is our promise. For more information, visit us online at megafood.com.
Zymogen is pleased to announce the arrival of Fit Food, a delicious, high-quality, functional food that's formulated to support weight management, healthy body composition, glycemic management, cardiovascular and immune health, and more. Each delicious serving of Fit Food contains 21 grams of pure New Zealand-sourced bioactive whey protein, 6 grams of fiber immune-supporting oat beta-glucan, and additional glutamine, glycine, taurine, and MCTs. Fit Food provides holistic support for today's active body. Learn more at Zymogen.com. Available now through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
All over the world, people are beginning to discover fish oil is one of the best secrets for unlocking great health. Thousands of studies have shown the amazing effects of these powerful omega-3s for heart health. Plus, fish oils have even been shown to balance moods and lessen anxiety. With exceptional taste, unrivaled freshness, and unsurpassed purity, Nordic Naturals is the easy way to get your omega-3s every day. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals, committed to the planet, committed to pure and great-tasting omega oils.
The brain requires nutrition just like the rest of the body. And this is where Gero Formula's Neuro Optimizer comes to the rescue. Neuro Optimizer is a concentrated source of nutrients needed for memory, mood, concentration, and focus. Neuro Optimizer supplies the building blocks for neurotransmitters, the chemicals that allow cells in the brain to communicate and to file away memories. Neuro Optimizer is the nutritional answer to the brain's needs. To learn more about formulas, visit Gero.com. Gero Formulas, available at Village Green Apothecary.
If you have arthritis, everyday tasks can become a challenge. That's why more and more doctors are recommending Arthrobin, an all-natural medical food for the dietary management of osteoarthritis. It contains a combination of bioflavonoids, which work to reduce inflammation and joint deterioration, along with collagen peptides, which increase joint mobility, function, and repair. Arthrobin is not a drug and is virtually free of negative side effects. Look for Arthrobin by Designs for Health today, available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I am your host, Dr. Kevin Passero. We're here every Sunday from 10 to 11 a.m., so make sure to tune in. If you can't tune in live, don't worry. You can always download our shows, previously recorded shows, on the internet. You can do it at iTunes at the Essentials of Healthy Living, or you can do it, access it from the Village Green website, which is our show sponsor, at www.myvillagegreen.com. And on the right-hand side of the homepage, if you click on the microphone icon, it will take you to the archive show section. You can also stream the show online on Sundays, 10 to 11 a.m., at www.federalnewsradio.com. And that's a great resource if you have people that are out of state that you think might be enjoying, might enjoy listening to the show. You can always tell them to tune in. We appreciate people spreading the word. We work hard to try and bring you great information, compelling information relating to your health and wellness. So today, no exception, we have on the phone Dr. Joseph Lamb. He's got, gosh, now, what, 25 years plus of experience as a physician in private practice, as a researcher in functional medicine and nutraceuticals, and now back in private practice. He is a wealth of knowledge, a wealth of experience, and is currently now practicing at the Hypertension Institute of Nashville in Nashville, Tennessee, with Dr. Mark Houston. And it's always an honor and privilege to have you on the show with us, Dr. Lamb. Thank you for taking the time.
Thank you, Dr. Passero.
Sure.
Great to be here today.
Yeah. So in the last segment, we were talking about how to be a good patient advocate, and we're transitioning the conversation into understanding more about the cardiovascular health issue, because the idea of just doing a regular cholesterol screen with your HDLs and your LDLs once a year is really the science of 20 years ago and is not all that predictive for understanding what your heart attack risk might be or cardiovascular health risk might be. There's so many other great tests out there. So let's talk about, segueing from our conversation in the last segment, being a patient advocate for yourself, understanding what tests to ask for, does insurance cover them, why do we ask for them? So, I mean, we have a lot to discuss in this topic. So I'm going to let you go ahead and lead the conversation off, Dr. Lamb, because I know you've got a lot of great thoughts on it.
Great. Thank you. So it is a really interesting world that we're in today, because there's this juxtaposition between thinking about high cholesterol as a statin drug deficiency, i.e. you've got high cholesterol, so you need to be on a statin, or you've got some other risk factors and you need to be on a statin, versus understanding some of the causes and treating the lifestyle and the such like and treating the pathophysiology. You know, the model for many years, and you're well aware of this, is that, you know, heart disease was all about cholesterol, and it was all about the slow buildup of cholesterol plaques. And, you know, work by, you know, Steven Sinatra, work by Mark Houston, work by a lot of authors in this field really has led to the concept that's very mainstream in the integrative world and just still kind of research oriented in the allopathic world, that inflammation plays an incredible role, that what's going on in the wall of the vessel, not just the cholesterol that's forming a plaque on that wall, but the physiology in that wall, whether it's oxidative stress, whether it's immune dysfunction, whether it's inflammation, plays a great determinant in what's going on in terms of heart disease. And as you quoted in the first part of this show, a study showed that 50% of people basically had a cholesterol, LDL cholesterol, that's the bad cholesterol, of less than 104 at the time that they presented with their first heart attack. So no one would have called them at particularly high risk if we were only concerned with cholesterol. So the opportunity is to do more testing.
Yeah, to understand more about what's going on. I tell people all the time, it's not just about cholesterol. It's about what your body chooses to do with that cholesterol. And a lot of the research is counterintuitive. People are wondering what's going on, because all the doctors are telling them your cholesterol is too high. You need to be on the statin medication to save your heart. Well, meanwhile, there's a whole nother body of research coming out around brain and neurological health, suggesting that, wow, people who have higher levels of cholesterol as they get older into their older years actually live longer and have lower risk of dementia and Alzheimer's. And, you know, we know that we need cholesterol, and the same enzymes in our liver that make cholesterol that statin drugs work to inhibit to lower our cholesterol, we have those same enzymes in our neurons that are working to make cholesterol, because you need that cholesterol to bridge the synapses and to build these connections between neurons. So, you know, why is it that we need to suppress something in the body that's bad for the heart? But it's, you know, when we suppress it, it may help the heart, but it's bad for our brain. Our body doesn't work in a disconnect like that. So the true understanding is, it's not so much how much cholesterol do you have. It's also about what is your body doing with that cholesterol. And there are tests that can help us understand risk factors that contribute to your body taking that cholesterol and putting it and making it more prone to form a plaque. So tell us, Dr. Lamb, what are those tests? What other things are the key things to look at in understanding what your body is going to do with the cholesterol? Because that is really the question.
Right. So there's two pieces to that. The first piece is the inflammatory piece, the inflammation that's taking place, the immune dysfunction that's taking place. And the second piece is it as simple to say that bad cholesterol is the LDL and good cholesterol is the HDL? And to give kind of a heads up warning about where we're going, it's not that simple. It's a lot more complex than that. But let's talk about the inflammatory piece first. You know, I think many of us know that our mitochondria, for example, in our cells make our energy. And when they do so, they generate ATP, adenosine triphosphate, out the end, and it's our basic energy charge for the body. And when we do that process, if we do it efficiently, then we make very few what are called free radicals or oxidative species. And these oxidative species, or free radicals, they give rise to the oxidative stress that we take antioxidants to protect us against. It's one of the big places that we do it. And if our mitochondria are working well, then things are effective in that regard. But if they're not, we create what's called oxidation. Fats can be oxidized. Proteins can be oxidized. For example, we oxidize fat. It's called oxidized LDL. So it's the small dense LDL particles that become particularly oxidized. And when that happens, they're actually one of the worst of all the LDLs. So that's the type of LDL that you don't want to have very much of, the small, dense, oxidized form. And so you can measure oxidative stress by doing some tests. The most kind of general, nonspecific test that kind of gives you an idea that there's low-grade inflammation going on is what's called a high-sensitivity C-reactive protein. The C-reactive protein is a protein made by the liver when it's sensing distress from other parts of the body, whether it's early insulin resistance, whether it's oxidative stress, whether it's immune dysregulation. Basically, when that vessel wall is not working, that endothelial layer, what we call endothelial dysfunction, when it's not working as well, then we get an elevated hsCRP. And this is a test that's very easy, covered by insurance companies regularly. And it's a great way of saying what kind of risk we're at. The Jupiter study that was a statin study that was done a number of years back showed that if you reduced LDL but didn't reduce hsCRP, you didn't have nearly the impact in terms of cardiovascular prevention. So just an hsCRP is a great first step.
Yeah, that is a great first step. And the we've always thought the CRP, if it's elevated, can certainly be a reflection of inflammation happening in the blood vessels. But the hsCRP is sort of nonspecific. It will elevate with any type of chronic inflammation. And I think, you know, what I've observed clinically is that people who have, maybe somebody has a normal to good cholesterol, but perhaps they have a chronic arthritic issue or some other type of condition that causes chronic inflammation, those chronically elevated levels of hsCRP or those chronic levels of inflammation can make their body more prone to do bad things with their cholesterol, even if their cholesterol level is good. So again, it's asking that question. It's not just what are your cholesterol levels, it's what is your body doing with it. And having excessive inflammation is one of the predisposing factors that will take you, that your body will use to basically turn cholesterol into plaques. And you know, I think that's an important point for people to remember. And Dr. Lam, I know there's some research that is sort of debated about are statin drugs effective because they lower cholesterol, or are statin drugs effective because they actually reduce inflammation? And, you know, because we know that they're actually pretty good at that. And many people are looking at research and favoring the concept that they actually work to potentially reduce cardiovascular risk because of the inflammation model. Is that correct?
And that certainly seems to be part of it. In the Jupiter study, rosuvastatin, which they looked at, did indeed seem to help lower the CRP. But, you know, there are, and your point about, you know, chronically elevated hsCRPs, like you see a high level because of rheumatoid arthritis. Well, rheumatoid arthritis people get heart disease more often than people in the regular population, which goes exactly to your point. I think, you know, the key is we start talking about, you know, lowering hsCRP, getting cholesterol numbers in a normal range. And as we're talking about statins, you know, the take home that I want to make is that particularly for secondary prevention, like if you've already had a heart attack and you're worried about having a second one, a statin becomes a very good drug if you need it. And if you even need it for primary prevention, which it doesn't do as well at, it's still a good drug if you need it. But the key point, and I know both of us believe in this, is that lifestyle change, a good diet, a good nutritional supplement program, an exercise program, and a cognitive behavioral program really should be the first step. So as we're talking about this, I don't want anyone running out and stopping their statin, but I do want them running out and getting you know, help about getting a healthier lifestyle. And then the conversation can be had with the person who's helping them with their lifestyle and the person who prescribed the statin for them about whether or not they should continue on it. The next test that's really quite good in this regard, you know, and helps look at inflammation. Actually, there's two of them. One, it's a little easier to find at a lot of laboratories. It's called the LPPLA2. Commercially, it's called the plaque test. And it's looking at an enzyme that leads a cholesterol plaque to thin, the capsule on top of it to thin and become prone to rupture. And it's that prone to rupture component that when they do rupture leads to a blood clot and leads to a sudden occlusion of the blood vessel. And so that's why it becomes so much more important to have this sort of test. Because let's say you do already have established, you know, you've had high cholesterol for a number of years. You know, you're asymptomatic, not having any symptoms, not having chest pain, you're exercising, but you've got a blood vessel that's not as responsive. And if it gets a sudden surge increase in blood pressure or it's a little more inflamed that day, if it cracks, then suddenly you're on your way to presenting with a heart attack as your first symptom. And a plaque test is a good sign of impending trouble within the next 6 months, particularly if it's in the elevated range, the high-risk range. And the other test is called myeloperoxidase. And it's not an antibody against myeloperoxidase, which some of the labs have. It's actually, do you have myeloperoxidase, which is an enzyme which plays a role in creating oxidative stress. And if that number is up as well, those two numbers kind of predict that over time, you're at a higher cardiovascular risk than you would be otherwise. And, you know, the take home is, well, what do you do with one of these tests? You know, like if the plaque test is high, does that mean I just take more statin? Does it mean I just get stricter on my diet? And in my practice, at least, when the plaque test is high, the LPPLA2, I step up the diagnostics that we'll do that are prognostic diagnostics, like a cardiovascular stress test with imaging, maybe a thallium image or with echocardiogram, or I do a gene test that looks at inflammatory genes that get upregulated in that inflamed plaque called the CORIS.
Okay, so let's take a quick break, Dr. Lamb, because this is where we're going to kind of transition into, you know, what do we do about some of these issues? Because, again, I think the take-home message for most people when they walk out of their doctor's office with any type of abnormal lab test related to cardiovascular health, which is most typically an elevated cholesterol, the recommendation pretty much is, here's a statin. And the idea is that if we can get your cholesterol down low enough, we don't necessarily need to worry about or think about these other markers. And that's not entirely true, because as you pointed out, even the research shows that statin medications are not all that effective in preventing primary coronary events. And we could be a lot more effective in helping to prevent primary cardiovascular events if we took into consideration the things that you're going to share with us in the next segment. So don't go anywhere. This is Dr. Kevin Pacero with the Essentials of Healthy Living, and we're going to be back right after these words.
Solgar No. 7 can help you feel the difference. Solgar No. 7 actually shows improvement in joint comfort within 7 days. Now you can start to get back on track fast and pursue the activities you love. Solgar No. 7 is a breakthrough in joint care with no glucosamine and no chondroitin. The advanced bioactives in Solgar No. 7 help to increase flexibility, mobility, and range of motion within 7 days. One capsule once a day is all you need. When stiff joints occasionally say no, Solgar No. 7 says yes. Solgar No. 7, available at Village Green Apothecary.
New from Garden of Life, Kind Organics Whole Food Multivitamins. They are the only USDA certified organic, non-GMO verified whole food multivitamins available. They're gluten-free, certified vegan, and feature a patent-pending clean tablet technology. Kind Organics is super clean, untreated, unadulterated, and real whole food. Kind Organics Multivitamins from Garden of Life. Be kind to your body and the earth. Kind Organics, now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Do you have unique needs that a mass market pharmacy can't handle? Village Green Apothecary can help. Maybe your doctor prescribed a special compounded formula for you, or you have concerns about allergies or dietary supplements. We invite you to talk with one of our compounding specialists today. Our team includes pharmacists, nutritionists, clinical herbalists, and naturopaths offering customized products and personalized healthy living plans to ensure your well-being. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Staying mentally sharp means nourishing the mind as well as the body. That's why there's new Cognisure from Metagenics. Research shows that the active natural ingredient in Cognisure supports multiple mechanisms necessary for maintaining healthy cognition and a healthy brain as it ages. Cognisure is also easy to take in delicious, chewable chocolate tablets. Have a clear and bright future by maintaining mental capacity with healthy habits and Cognisure. Remember Cognisure for healthy brain aging support. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
Have you ever wondered why the cold and flu season occurs in the fall and winter months? One theory is because of a decrease in sun exposure, our bodies don't make enough vitamin D, which is essential to proper immune function. That's why medical experts recommend supplementing with vitamin D. Thorne Research's vitamin D products are made from pure vitamin D with no preservatives or unnecessary ingredients added. Support your immune system with Thorne's vitamin D1000 and D5000. These and other immune-supporting formulas are always available at Village Green.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I'm your host for today, Dr. Kevin Pacero. Thank you all for tuning in. I have on the phone with me today my special guest, Dr. Joseph Lamb. He has over 20 years of experience clinically in clinical practice as well as research specifically related to integrative and holistic medicine. He is one of the most well-educated people in this field that we could possibly have on the show with us today. And we've been discussing in the last few segments cardiovascular health. And in the last segment, Dr. Lamb reviewed some very important cardiovascular tests that are covered by insurance that you can get from your doctor, and it relates to the beginning of the show and being a good advocate for yourself. These are tests that if you walk into your doctor's office and you ask for, there should really be no reason why they don't do them, because they're covered by insurance and there's good research to show that they're predictive for cardiovascular risk. We covered the highly reactive C-reactive protein test, the HSCRP test. We covered the myeloperoxidase test, which is the measure of an enzyme that's related to plaque formation risk. And we covered the PLA, the plaque test, or the LPPLA2 test, which is also an enzyme that is potentially related to risk as far as a plaque rupture. So we also, Dr. Lamb, had sort of briefly gone over oxidized LDL. We sort of mentioned it, but we didn't really talk about it in the testing context. I know you wanted to circle back around and have a word about that.
Oh, absolutely. Oxidized LDL, which is not necessarily available as easily, Cleveland Heart Lab's doing it at the moment, and some of the other labs really be moving in that direction. Oxidized LDL is probably my favorite. Several papers have shown that it's a much better predictor of your risk for cardiovascular disease. Interestingly enough, in work that we did when I was at Metagenics, we found that even kind of generally healthy people eating a standard American diet have elevated oxidized LDL levels. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not in the low risk group. And these aren't people with high cholesterol necessarily. These aren't people, you know, with who are obese. These are people walking around in their everyday life, and their cholesterol numbers may be okay, not great, okay, but they have a high oxidized LDL because of what's going on in that feature. So I really like that test because it starts saying specifically where we need to push a little bit, which is not just lowering the cholesterol, but reducing oxidative stress and picking the right oxidants.
Right.
The piece that we didn't also talk about in terms of is what's called an advanced lipid profile. And it's been shown, you know, that cholesterol particles have more functions than just carrying cholesterol. And the LDL particle carries both triglycerides and LDL, the low density cholesterol. And basically, it becomes a particle, and it's not as dense because it has when it starts out, it has more triglyceride, which it's delivering, and cholesterol it delivers at a more slow rate, until finally you get kind of this small dense particle that's not doing a very good job at delivering anymore. It may actually be old. It may not have been cleared effectively by the liver. And then it can either become oxidized or have a sugar bound to it, kind of what, like glycation, like what goes on when sugar gets bound to protein when we check a hemoglobin A1C. And that modified small dense LDL particle is the bad actor. And testing can be done now by these specialty labs to see if you have small dents. Mm-hmm. And then the final kind of what's coming in the future is a number of labs, including Boston Heart Lab, for example, are looking at HDL. And again, you know, just like we want it kind of fluffy LDL as opposed to the small dents, we want big fluffy HDL. If you think about HDL as the scavengers going around picking stuff up and bringing them back to the liver to clear it out, you don't want a lot of Mini Coopers driving down the roads picking things up. You want big dump trucks picking stuff up. So you want the big fluffy HDL. But the HDL does so much more. It has immune regulatory properties, kind of fights against infection and keeps the immune system from getting turned up, inflammation getting turned up. It has antioxidants in it. And the future, in the next couple of years, we're going to be able to look at the HDL and say, is it doing those other jobs well or not? And that's a big piece that's coming, which will be interesting. One of the things that should be said about a lot of these lab tests is sometimes they need to go to other than your standard reference laboratory, but your practitioner can do that pretty easily through their office generally. And when you go to get billed for these tests, what a lot of the companies will do is they'll have an upfront copay. Like they'll tell you, for example, that if you pay your copay, no matter how much your insurance company pays for the test, that you're going to be covered. And, you know, it's being your own advocate, that's an important question to ask when people are offering you testing. Make sure you know if someone starts talking about some of the specialty labs, what your responsibilities are going to be, how the office handles it, how they expect you to pay for it. But, you know, Cleveland Heart Lab, for example, has a paid kind of assured program called kind of an easy pay program where you're responsible for your copay. And even if your insurance company doesn't pay their portion, they're not coming to you for it.
Sure.
And a lot of companies do that. And that's legal because what they've basically done is they're trading some of their profits in order to get the test out there so it can benefit people.
Sure. Yeah, it's a good point. Now, of course, we've talked about a lot of, you know, fancy lab tests, which are really important. And I think this is the crux. This is the advance of cardiovascular medicine. And I think that so much of cardiovascular medicine these days is really focused on interventional cardiology, meaning once somebody presents with a occluded vessel, we have great technology to go in and place a stent or to do bypass surgery or to do other therapies that are interventional once something's happened. There's a lot less focus on preventative cardiology and getting patients evaluated in their primary care doctor's office, their regular check-ins, looking for these markers and identifying the people that are at risk and using these more comprehensive approaches, which by far will exceed just giving out a statin medication, because as we talked about, we know the research for statins for primary prevention is not that great. If you can identify oxidation issues with oxidized LDL, other risk factors, inflammatory issues, obesity, high blood sugar levels, and you can advocate for lifestyle changes, dietary modifications, the right nutrient intake, the right use of medications, you can significantly reduce risk and even reverse blockages that have started to occur, at least ones that don't need immediate intervention. And that's something that I've seen over and over and over again, working with a cardiologist who focuses this way. I've looked at patients in scans where we see 50 to 60% occlusions in vessels that the person had no idea that they had, reduced to 20 to 30% after a year of therapy, focusing on exactly these issues and using these blood tests as the markers for guiding treatment protocols that are inclusive of medication prescription that may require blood pressure lowering medications, some cholesterol lowering, reducing medications, but in combination with dietary changes, lifestyle changes, and aggressive nutrient therapy. So what we sort of skipped over, Dr. Lim, is the story of high blood pressure and hypertension. I know you're working at the Hypertension Institute of Nashville, so I don't want to spend too much time on this topic because we want to leave time to help people really understand the action steps, but we can't have a good discussion about cardiovascular risk without discussing blood pressure.
Right, absolutely. And so I think the take home is people should know that what we consider a healthy blood pressure has changed. For many years, we said 120 over 80 is normal. And now, you know, the Joint National Commission 7 on hypertension out of NIH, the most recent meetings, they make it very clear that the desirable goal is 110 over 70. And the second piece is if you're between that 110 over 70 on your way up to what we now call hypertension, which is 135 over 85, if you're in that in-between range, we're no longer calling you borderline. We're calling you pre-hypertension because it's been recognized that even if you get to 55 years of age and have a normal blood pressure, you still have an 80% lifetime risk for being hypertensive,
mm-hmm.
for having high blood pressure. You know, I'm 55 at the moment. I have normal blood pressure. I have a 8 out of 10 chance that by the time I die, my blood pressure is going to be elevated.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that I can modify if I make the right choices.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the whole aspect of looking at blood pressure, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Dr. Lam, but I'm not quite sure we've really done a good job of educating patients about, you know, what their blood pressure really is, because the actual check-in is usually in the doctor's office, right? And we're not getting always a whole lot of data points. And unlike blood cholesterol levels, which, you know, I mean, we eat and it changes, we can kind of get a steady read on. Blood pressure also fluctuates and changes all throughout the day, depending on the situation you're in. And so a lot of times people walk into a doctor's office and they may have a slightly high reading and the doctor says, okay, we'll take it when you get home, and they take it when they get home, when they're relaxed at night before bed and it's normal. But let's say that's also a person who's a high level executive who's under a ton of stress every day, enjoys the stress, you know, could they have a hypertension type scenario induced by lifestyle that's not being addressed because of the way we look at blood pressure readings?
Oh, Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things, like, when we write off white coat hypertension, like when we say your blood pressure was up, but you're a little nervous, you were running a little late for the office, you're a little bit concerned. Well, I hate to say it, I don't think of myself as that scary, and most of us aren't that scary. And the reality of it is, if we are that scary, then you're probably being scared by other things throughout the course of the day. And when I say
that's
scared,
right,
having your stress system activated in a fight versus flight response. And as you and I were talking about during the break, and I love this expression, you know, it's the what happens to the river's banks that we concern about. And when the river swells or when the river floods, you get all this stress on the vessel wall. And those sorts of stress are what leads those plaques to crack, the vessel wall to get strained, to become more permeable so that the bad cholesterol gets through the wall. Many of those steps are by, you know, blood pressure hammering away at the vessel when we get those quick surges of elevated blood pressure with stress.
That's right. So we're going to have to take a quick break. When we come back, Dr. Lam, let's summarize and let's talk about some action steps now that we've helped people understand a little bit more about what to ask for if they get these tests back and they're elevated. And if they're asking for them and their doctor doesn't know what to do about them, let's talk about some strategies about how to modify these risk factors and support your cardiovascular health. This is Dr.
Great.
Kevin Pacero with the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500. Don't touch that dial. We're going to be back right after these words.
Mega Food Premium Whole Food Supplements are the only supplements crafted from scratch with farm-fresh whole foods to deliver nourishment the way nature intended. Mega Food believes Mother Nature knows best. They select only fresh whole food, harvested at the peak of ripeness, handle it gently and with care to deliver its vital essence to you in every bottle. Mega Food, from farm to tablet, our name is our promise. For more information, visit us online at megafood.com.
Bridging the gap between nutraceuticals and pharmaceuticals. That's the concept behind Zymogen's new exclusive and patented line of formulations, which utilize sophisticated delivery technologies to focus on specific molecular targets. The Zymogen EP line features Immunitix 3-6, a potent ingredient that has demonstrated a measurable ability to prime and enhance immune cell function. Applications include immune system support and support for white blood cell recovery following radiation therapy and other bone marrow-affecting treatments. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
For over 10 years, Nordic Naturals has been the world leader in crafting omega-3 fish oils that are great for the body and for the planet. They work one-on-one with researchers and select fishermen to harvest only those fish species that are flourishing. With Nordic Naturals, you get all the benefits of omega-3, a strong heart, clear eyes, and flexible joints, plus the reassurance that their products are environmentally friendly. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals, committed to the planet, committed to pure and great-tasting omega oils.
Did you get enough lutein today to support eye health? Most Americans consume only 2 milligrams per day, yet populations with good eye health often consume 6 to 20 milligrams to protect the macula of the eye against oxidative stress and aging. Vision Optimizer from Gero Formulas supplies lutein, zeaxanthin, and 13 other vitamins, phytonutrients, and herbs that support eye health and function, reduce eye fatigue, and promote eye comfort. For more information, visit Gero.com. Gero Formulas, available at Village Green Apothecary.
If you have arthritis, everyday tasks can become a challenge. That's why more and more doctors are recommending Arthrobin, an all-natural medical food for the dietary management of osteoarthritis. It contains a combination of bioflavonoids, which work to reduce inflammation and joint deterioration, along with collagen peptides, which increase joint mobility, function, and repair. Arthrobin is not a drug and is virtually free of negative side effects. Look for Arthrobin by Designs for Health today, available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I am your host for today, Dr. Kevin Pacero. Thank you all for tuning in. We've been having a great discussion with Dr. Joseph Lam, primarily around cardiovascular health, and we've discussed in the last few segments some of the testing that you can advocate for that are markers that go along with traditional testing for heart health like cholesterol, but give us greater insight into risk factors. And we've covered them, the C-reactive protein, the myeloperoxidase, oxidized LDL, the LPPLA2, and of course, as we talked about at the end of the last segment, keeping a very close eye and monitor on blood pressure, because that will also create a lot of stress that will lead to plaque formation and heart disease risk. In this segment, Dr. Lamb, we only have a few minutes left, but I'd love for you to touch upon some of the lifestyle interventions and other types of strategies we can use to reduce cardiovascular risk, because you spent 8 years at Metagenics basically studying nutrients and studying lifestyle interventions for issues just like this. So I'm going to let you take the reins here.
Great. So, you know, it was very interesting. One day, Jeff Bland, who was our chief science officer at Metagenics, the author of the book, The Disease Delusion, he and I sat down and we said, well, what would be the one thing we could do for somebody? If you could give them one thing. And the consensus that we came up with from that little think experiment was if we could give them an hour. And it was to give them an hour to focus upon their life, to make lifestyle changes. And if people can find a little extra time by writing it down on their calendar, schedule it in Outlook so it's there. But, you know, add something to your life that you're not currently doing. You know, if I had to give a basic program, I would say number one, a Mediterranean style, low glycemic load food plan. So that means not a lot of carbs, means lots of complexity in terms of colors of vegetables and fruits all the way around, healthy oils from nuts, olives, avocados, and good quality protein, preferably like wild game, organic free range, wild caught fish, that sort of thing. You know, that's the focus dietary wise, exercise wise. Be active. Get a pedometer. Increase the number of steps you're taking each day. Aim for 5,000 to 10,000 steps a day and just up it gradually so you don't overtax yourself and get an injury and you can't get back to work. If you have cardiovascular risk factors and you're particularly sedentary, talk to your doctor about whether you need a stress test before you start exercising. Additionally, a cognitive behavioral kind of spiritual relaxation practice, centering prayer, meditation, soft belly meditation, any of those things, they're great for reducing stress. They're great for reducing blood pressure. Herbert Benson's work shows us that. It's almost like taking a beta blocker, which is a class of drugs, when you do a meditation for 15 to 20 minutes each day. And finally, from a supplement point of view, a good multivitamin, one that has plant-based antioxidants in it that can help reduce that oxidized LDL, a good quality fish oil, a probiotic, and vitamin D.
Those are a lot of great summaries, but yes, it comes down to lifestyle, stress management, and having the right targeted nutrients, and also, if necessary, using, you know, prescription medications to create the desired effect. If you have high blood pressure and you try lifestyle and, you know, nutrition issues and even exercise and supplements, if it's not coming down enough, I believe in many of those scenarios that the risk to benefit ratio of using a properly prescribed minimum dose of a blood pressure medication to lower blood pressure has a better benefit ratio than it does a risk ratio as far as prevention for cardiovascular disease. And some people are in great shape. They eat a really healthy diet. They're totally thin. They don't really have a lot of the risk factors associated with high blood pressure, have high blood pressure. Some of it's genetic and familial. And in those circumstances, you need to think about integrating all of what medicine has to offer to create a beneficial profile to reduce your cardiovascular risk. So thank you very much, Dr. Lamb. I'm assuming people can learn more about the Hypertension Institute of Nashville on the internet. You want to let people know where they can learn more?
Just put in Hypertension Institute of Nashville. You'll find us.
Gotcha. All right. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Lamb. It's always a pleasure having you on the show with us. So thank you for taking the time today. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in and listening. This is Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living, wishing you all the best of health until we talk next time. Take care.
Ah, the joy of commuting in Washington. Whether you work on the Hill or outside of the Beltway, you know how stressful it is to get around. Stress can take a serious toll on your health, and Village Green Apothecary can help. We offer over 10,000 healthy living products, including top-quality nutritional supplements, herbal remedies, and more. Our nutritionists and pharmacists are here to advise you about creating your very own individualized healthy living plan. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda, 5415 West Cedar Lane, or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.